Yes, that's right. This is your number one talk radio station. And now we're crossing over to the Ondangwa studio. And the mic has now come to the bigger mic. So thank you, David, for the early morning scoop. And welcome. And thanks for joining us this morning. Today is the 21st December. 21st of October. I really want the year to come to the end already. So welcome to your favorite number one talk radio station. And you're just tuned into Unpacking the Day. My name is Michael Chavedi, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what really going on in business, economics, and politics. So every weekdays, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, the trends and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear, a little witty, and always curious, asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh start, a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space. This is your platform to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. And welcome wherever you find yourself in this beautiful land of the brave, or even outside of this beautiful land of the brave. So, and that's why you're probably listening to us, because you have the Eagle FM mobile app. So make sure that if you don't, you know, download that, you can get that from Google Play or Play Store, you know, and download that Eagle FM mobile app. So you stay connected wherever you are, and wherever you go, you will still be connected to Eagle FM. So thanks for joining us. Our time is about 4 minutes past the hour of 8, and it's always a pleasure for us to be in your company, and thanks for joining us. So, as usual, we start with our segment. So we start with our segment on this day in Africa. So we start with our segment on this day in Africa. And this is a segment where we breathe life into history one day at a time. So on the 21st of October, 1986, the African Charter on human and people rights, which adopted in 1981, came into force. So this date is commemorated annually as Africa Human Rights Day across the continent. So the charter is foundational for the continental human rights architecture under the African Union and its human rights mechanisms. So this marks a major milestone in Africa's collective commitment to human rights, providing legal and institutional framework for protection of rights and freedoms. So, and on the very same day, on the 21st of October, 1969, a military coup in the Somali Republic, modern-day Somalia, led by Siad Barre, toppled the civilian government, establishing a socialist one-party state. So Barre's rule would go on to last until 1991, deeply shaping Somalia's political trajectory. And this event exemplifies a major turning point in the Horn of Africa politics. So the end of the parliamentary civilian era in Somalia and the beginning of decades of authoritarian rule, which later contributed to civil war and state collapse. So, and in 1952, the British colonial, on the same day, the British on the 21st of, of October 1952, the British colonial government in Kenya declared a state of emergency and arrested Jomo Kenyatta, the president of the Kenya Africa Union, KAU, and the key figure in the independence movement, following an increase in Mau Mau violence and the assassination of a senior chief. So this was critical. This was a critical moment in the Mau Mau rebellion, a prolonged and violent anti-colonial conflict. So, and in the land of the brave, in 1885, Maharero, the chief of the Herero people in present-day Namibia, land of the brave, signed a protection treaty with the German colonial government, Heinrich Ernst Göring, father of Hermann Göring. So this treaty, while not setting land initially, you know, marked a formal step toward German control and was a precursor to future conflict and the Herero and Nama genocide. So, yep, that's what we have for you on this day in Africa. So hopefully you pick up or you learn. If you're a student or someone, you know, just, you know, pick up something from the history of Africa. So, and today, Tuesday, the October the 21st, what is our thought for the day? What is our thought for the day? It's an interesting one. A man who counts his money in front of the hungry invites the devil to dinner. A man who counts his money in front of the hungry invites the devil to dinner. So, the proverb means that displaying one's wealth and property, I mean prosperity, to those who are suffering from poverty and need is unwise and dangerous. So it suggests that such an act of insensitivity or boastfulness could provoke a negative consequences, like likened now to inviting the devil into one's life. So the Proverbs criticize the lack of empathy shown by those who boast about their future, about their fortune, to people who are suffering. So it warns that such an action do not go unpunished and can lead to misfortune, disharmony, and a loss of what one holds dear. So a man who counts his money in front of the hungry invites the devil to dinner. So please don't do that in any choices that you're making today in your life. So welcome to Eagle FM, and you are tuning to Unpacking the Day. 10 is past 8 is our time, and we are coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio in the mighty region, of Oshana. So all right, what can you expect in the show this morning? What can we unpack together? So, the Central Procurement Board of Namibia, the CPBN, has rolled out a new pre-qualification system for construction bids. So, we're going to look at that. So, and make sure that we unpack that together. And also, this is from over the weekend, I think. So Dr. Esperanza Livindau reached out to a foreign mission. Okay, this comes out of one of the daily newspaper. She's asking for urgent help with malaria drug supplies. So let's unpack that as well. So because it has some really implications. All right. And also, we would have, if we still have time, we're going to look at the PPP investment, you know, electrifying 257 homes in Caribbean settlement. That is a story also covered in the Villager of yesterday. So that's what we're going to unpack this morning, and hopefully you are ready. So after this,
My friend, why do you seem so worried? My friend, why do you seem so worried? My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I. The I.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo chikawa shafa sana na na longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moya wo ota ingongo tisamweni anange shifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika seitha nina omayakuro nilanditoma yoe yonge shifa yoe okupitiramo Eagle FM Media House ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina kara omkwa shifareki uimopo yomo programa letu Moambo, dengira selma, kodara heta tuimu. Datu, heari hamano tano, o ambiaj. Eagle FM, so hi.
So welcome back and good morning. Good morning to you. Good morning to you, my dear listeners. Welcome back to Unpacking the Day, where we dive into the stories shaping our country and unpack what they really mean for you and for me. So this morning we are talking about something that that might sound technical, but affects every brick, every bridge, every road built with our public money. So that's what better with our every hospital or schools. So that's what we're talking about. So the Central Procurement Board of Namibia, the CPBN, in short, we will continue. There is, you know, we need to pay bills. I mean, we pay to pay.
If you've reached that stage in life where you are tired of everything, where each day is just routine. Dah, yammer me oh. No, seriously, I am genuinely sorry for you. Cause you clearly haven't been polanified. Like, boring day at the spun. Polanify your lunch hour with a delicious Polana curry. Chewing through yet another stale sandwich. Polanify your burger with a little mac and cheese. Tired of chewing the same shandy? Polanify your munchies with air-fried Polana pasta chips. Come on, life's too short for boring. Polanify every moment with Pasta Polana, a proud product of Namib Mills.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know, you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
My friend, why do you seem...
Okay, welcome back. Welcome back. And so, welcome back to Unpacking the Day. And thanks for joining us at this very morning. Our time is about 16 minutes past the hour of 8. So, the Central Procurement Board of Namibia has rolled out a new pre-qualification system. So, for construction bids. So, if you are in construction, well, this is for you. So, now, before your eyes glaze over, let's let's unpack this together, okay? Now, this basically means that before a company can even bid for a certain government construction project, like schools, hospitals, or a road, it must first prove it qualified. You know, first, it has to prove that it qualified. So only those on the approved list will be invited to bid. All right? So first of all, it must prove it is qualified. So we're going to get into that. And then, only then, those on an approved list will be invited to bid. Now, sounds efficient, right? Now, so because, well, less papers, less time wasted on, you know, you have those that, you know, those unserious bidders sometimes who just, you know, let me just try out. So you get rid of those, you know, you have that, you make sure that those ones are filtered before, you know, before the serious. Then you have only the serious one who have everything that is required, you know, to actually to bid. So, but, and this is where we come in, you know, you and I, you know, to unpack this. So what are the really implications? And who benefits first of all, from this system, from this new way of looking at it, from these systems? And could this move meant to make things fair actually make it harder for smaller contractor to compete? So we're going to look at that, because this could become a bit harder for smaller contractor to compete. Now, let's unpack that together. Now, what is changing and why? Now, so here's the idea. The Central Procurement Board of Namibia says this new system will help streamline public procurement. So that's the process government uses to buy goods and services. So they want to identify only the most capable, the experienced, and well-resourced bidders. So they want to do that. They want to have this already on the list. So they want to identify those one, that who is capable, who is experienced, you know, and who is well-resourced. You see, when I said, this might become harder for a smaller contractor to compete. So well-resourced bidders. Okay, just pay attention. Now, on paper, it is about efficiency and transparency. So Namibia Public Procurement Act already demand fairness and accountability. And this step, they say, strengthen that. All right? So they say this step is actually strengthen what is the Namibian Public Procurement Act already demanding. All right? Which is fairness and accountability. So we gotta test that. Now, but here is where it's getting a bit concerning. Now, to get pre-qualified, a company has to buy a document for 3,000 and go through an application process. Now, once approved, that company stay on the CPBN database for a year and can then be invited for strict bidding. All right, you are part of the elite group now, all right? So you are part of the chosen one, not the elite group. You're part of the chosen one. So you can now invited to bid for the strict bidding now, all right? Now, the 3,000 may, well, as I said earlier on, the small contractors, the 3,000 may not sound like much to a large construction firm. But to a small local builder, to a small local builders in Gobabis or in Otapi, you know, that's a lot. That's absolutely a lot. So especially when you are not guaranteed to win a single tender afterward. So this is not, it's not guarantee you that, and it's only for 1 year. Yeah? This is not guaranteed that you will actually, you will win a single tender afterward. So is this new rule raising the bar for quality? Think about this, okay? Could be a good idea because it's really raising the bar for quality. You know, we are actually filter to find the one who can be able to, you know, to do the job. Or is it raising the drawbridge? I call it the drawbridge to keep smaller players out. So I want you to think that and think really deep. Eh? Because if we're talking about, you know, help, and also when you're looking now for the well-resourced firm or companies, do we have those in Namibia? Are many of those Namibian, you know, company? So we could be also ending up actually giving the, you know, the tenders to the foreign companies. So now think about that. So let's look at the, you know, let's take a close look. Okay. Namibia has a history of struggling with delayed projects, overruns and sometimes standard work, you know, standard work on the government contract. So a substandard. Okay. So part of that comes from unqualified companies, you know, winning the tenders. And maybe, as I said, would this be a new rule that actually raising the bar for quality? So the reasons of sometimes we have those, you know, delayed project or substandard work, quality of work, especially on government contracts. Part of that come from unqualified companies winning the tenders, and sometimes through connections, and those come, they are now unqualified companies who are actually winning the tender through connection, sometimes through loopholes. Sometimes it's through the loopholes that are there. So, yes, a pre-qualification could help. I think I see that a pre-qualification actually could help in this regard. So it ensures only competent contractors build our schools and road, because then you have really, you know, get the qualified one, you get the well-resourced one, get the well, you know, whatever the pre-criteria that are used. So then it ensures that only competent contractors will definitely do the job. Maybe build the school, build the road, and all that. In theory, that should mean better result and less corruption. Okay? In theory. So, but we also know how system, you know, we also know how system like these can backfire. So they can backfire as well. When you make an entry harder, eh? Now, when you make an entry harder, the big fish dominate the pond. So when you make it harder, who actually dominate the pond? The big fish. And who are the big fish? Eh? So who are the big fish? It could be many companies that are not fully, you know, many companies that are not owned, fully owned by Namibians, you know, could be foreign companies. So one have to worry. That's why I said it could also a system that can backfire. So smaller emerging contractors, often owned by young Namibian also. So as we have seen those applications, we have this emerging organization that are coming, companies that are coming up and often owned by young Namibian, trying to break into the industry. So they will get left behind. So they will definitely get left behind. So just practically, just imagine a small Oshakati-based builder who completed a community project, right, successfully. But it doesn't have the resource to look big, you know. It doesn't have the resource actually to look big on paper, you know. It doesn't look big enough on the paper. Under this system, they may have never even get a chance to bid. You understand? They may not have that chance actually to bid under this system. And let's not forget the regional balance. Okay? That's one thing. So I mentioned Oshakati-based builders. Now, so think of the regional balance. You know, companies in Windhoek and maybe in towns like Wavish Bay often have more access to resources and networks compared to if you sitting somewhere in Okongo, or maybe you are Mandume is in it's in Windhoek, so that's fine. All right, so so those that are in this town have more access to resources and networks. Now, will pre-qualification criteria take geographic reality into account? Would that actually take the geographic reality into account? Or would the capital-based firm continue to dominate national tenders? As it continued to be. So, that's where the risk lies. That's where the risk lies. A good idea that might, you know, unintentionally entrench inequality in the contract, in a construction sector. So that is something you can think about as you come through as well. So another thing is the database, as I mentioned, only lasts for 1 year. So the database only lasts for 1 year, meaning every year companies must reapply and pay again. So that's more administration, that's more cost, and more room for red tape. Definitely room more for red tape. So think about this through, really. Whether this is, yes, as we said, it has some, you know, when you look at it, there are some benefits on it. So, but let's look at that critically as well and probably perfect it in a way that would be more helpful for everybody. We come back and continue on this.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Yes, Imba, make sure that you download that product as well. It's very, 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 very helpful. One of my favorite when Sundays or funerals or whatever or weddings, I can go to any church, you know. I can go to any church because I have all the hymnal book right here on my phone. So make sure that you do that. You don't want to left out. You don't want to be in the church and you're not singing and you look out of place. Have Imba. Once you have Imba, definitely you know, it look cool as well. You know, you don't need to carry. People have about how many books? You don't need to carry about 2, 3, 4, 5 books. You have a big bag, you know, where you're carrying all this. No, just on your phone. Everything is there. Voila. You know? So make sure that you download that as well. So very important, very useful product. All right. So now let's get back to our let's get back to the public procurement in Namibia. So now here is a question we all should ask, or you should ask, who really benefit from pre-qualification? Okay, who is benefiting? Do the contractors benefit? Do the bidders benefit? Who actually benefit from this? Now, procurement, public procurement in Namibia is a big business. In 2024 alone, okay, the government infrastructure budget exceeded 6 billion with hundreds of projects nationwide, okay? That's a lot of contracts. And also a lot of opportunities. That's a lot of contract and a lot of opportunity. Now, if only a handful, let's say for example, now think of that exceeding about 6 billion. If it's only a handful of firm are pre-qualified, those same company could end up actually controlling most of that market. And that could, that also in some way, it could also push prices up and not down, definitely. So because, you know, so that only same companies, in that who are actually then, you know, pre-qualified, you know, pre-qualified could actually control most of that sum of money. So, well, we think of transparency. Transparency is supposed to prevent corruption, yes. But restricted bidding by its nature limits who can see and who can participate. You understand? And that is a double-edged sword. So the system could become efficient, yes, but also easier to manipulate quietly, you know? You can also manipulate that quietly. So by controlling who get pre-qualified, the CBPN, the CBPN, CPBN, you know, Control Procurement Board of Namibia, so essentially decide who plays in the bigger leagues. You know, who actually plays in the bigger leagues? And that's a lot of influence. That's a lot of influence. So maybe the question is, what mechanism will ensure that the pre-qualification, it doesn't become another gatekeeping tool? You know? So will there be independent audit, for example, you know, and will the public get access to the database? So Namibia has seen this before, right? Procurement reforms introduced with the best intention, that later become tools for exclusion or in some cases for favoritism. So remember, efficiency, you know, can't come at the cost. It can't come at the expense of accessibility. It should not come at the expenses of accessibility. So before I allow you, let's look at this from a bigger perspective, okay? And then I can allow you to come. And the CPBN, the CPBN's goal, it's actually fit into Namibia's wider vision, okay? Economic growth, transparency, and sustainable development. So public works projects are key drivers of jobs and local businesses as well. So now, but for the system to work fairly, it must balance quality assurance with economic inclusivity. So otherwise, we risk repeating the same old pattern. Big companies winning big tenders, while smaller contractors stay smaller forever. So otherwise, we repeat that pattern. So that has to, there should be that balance. Because otherwise, our small companies, our entrepreneur will never grow. Well, maybe the solution lies somewhere in between. Somewhere could be, could there be, you know, when you said tier one, you know, the tier one, tier one, tier two or something like that. Maybe could there be tiered, you know, I put it tiered pre-qualification levels, okay? Where one for large firm, you know, you have one for large firm. I think this is something that someone actually talked about, that when the government, when the tender is given to, let's say, for example, you have a school building and it have different blocks, so different things that are involved there. Maybe you can also think of, you know, giving some job to small contractors. So to do the ablution, for example, or to do the, you know, electric wiring, whatever the case may be. So let's maybe, could there be, that's what I'm asking now, there could there be tiered pre-qualification levels? So one for large firms, one for SME. And could mentorship also, maybe, could mentorship and training be part of those processes? Helping new players rise instead of shutting them out. That's the only way we can, when we talk about building skills, that's the only way that we can be able to achieve that. Because otherwise, if we keep shutting them out, we'll never be able to do that. Well, it's worth debating, you know, because when public procurement fails, we're all part of it, you know. Part of it in bad road, leak, if you have a leaking, you know, roof, you know, and delayed hospitals that needed to be built. So, but when it succeeds, it's everyone's win. So, it's everyone's win. Jobs, you know, skills, a better service. So, it's everyone's win. So, that's why you need to take, you know, you need to take this as a responsibility as well. So, okay. So what are we talking about this morning? So CPBN, the new pre-qualification system is a bold step. I think it's a very bold step. One that could bring much needed discipline to Namibia construction sector. But as with any reform, the devil is always in the details, as they said. So it promises transparency, but it could also narrow, you know, that participation. So smaller contractors may be, you know, limited, may shut down, may shut out. So, and also it aims for efficiency. When you see the whole idea is it's also efficiency, but it's also risk creating barriers as well. So the challenge of for Namibia will be to make sure that procurement reform don't leave our small contractors standing outside the gate, please. You know, from this system, we see that it may create that. And that's where you come in. That's where you come in, my dear listeners. So what do you think? Should the government prioritize efficiency even if it limits competition? Think. Should it prioritize that even if it's limiting competition? Or should inclusivity come first? Well, even if it might slow things down, so you can also think about that, the other side as well, because there could be the side effects. Well, you may come through. So our telephone number is 0833-66091. We are now in Ondangwa. So 0833-66091. So you can come through and have your reaction and have your say and your contributions. So remember, reforming public procurement is not just about system and document. So it's about making sure every Namibian benefits from the public funds. you know, that flow through those systems. So that's what it means. So what is your say? What is your take? 0833-66-091. So you're welcome to come through.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Omutiha utekiro kaguna I matina omjo. Chikawa shafa sana na longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyawo ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anage shifa ya Namibia ompitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandi toma yoe. Yonge shifa yoe okupikira mo Eagle FM Media House.
Welcome back. Good
Hello.
Morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. I don't know what happened there. Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
How are you?
Good, sir. Good, sir. It's an interesting topic that you are having there.
All right.
Because I would like to let you guys know that, you know, the big companies, when they get the tenders,
yeah,
they use the smaller companies anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So they get the bigger share and then they give the smaller share to know for getting clean money with zero amount of work. And it happens down a chain like that.
Yeah.
No wonder they want to exclude the small companies from getting the bigger fish, right? Because they still gonna sell the bones and the scales to the ones because they need the money, you see.
Yeah. But
yeah.
Yeah. But
mm, see.
Yeah, but then that it doesn't necessarily guarantee that, you know, this making it a system, it doesn't necessarily guarantee that, well, bigger companies will definitely use smaller ones. So, and there could be, the difference would be also that the bigger ones, mm-hmm, they may have only certain companies that they use. What about the one in Okongo, in Opuo, and in what, you know?
Yes, they will be completely cut off. That's why I'm saying I'm against this.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Oh, I get it. Yeah. Now. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, bro.
Yeah.
Good, sir. Good day.
All right. Thanks, eh?
Yeah.
Is that all?
All right. Okay. So 0833-66-091, 0833-66-091. So you, what do you think? What are you saying? So what do you think? Should the government prioritize, as I said earlier on? So,
very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking Today.
Yes. Morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
I'm all right, man. Oh, short and sweet from the first caller.
Yeah, that was short and sweet, yeah.
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 Yeah, you know, Mike, man.
Yeah.
I think we are moving to that side of where we want to completely cut off the what? People are coming up, young people who are coming up with business, even good ideas.
Yeah.
We are also trying to shut them, because you remember one thing, that the people come up with what people to do register their company,
yeah,
not to have CC instead of you must have unlimited what company where you are supporting them to have a secretary. Yeah. Even though you know that your company is not even grow to the, that level where you support even just to handle your own thing alone.
Mm.
Yeah. And you are forced to also to have accountant. You see, these are things which I think is keeping us somewhere where we are as a business people upcoming. But seriously, but
Mandume, you also have to strike a balance where, you know, if for example we take a company just for kind of like, okay, we need to balance and let's have also now maybe someone from, let's say for example from Congo, you know, come from Congo. But if they are not doing if they are not doing an excellent job, we will be complaining. You know, the government just hire people who are not actually doing a good job. Things are not, you know, they're not lasting and whatever the case may be.
No, so, Mike, small company always they're trying to be equated because they know they don't have an financial to court.
Yeah.
To hire the best lawyer.
Yeah.
But big company obviously they are getting away with it.
Yeah.
And we see over and over.
Mm.
Because why I'm telling you, my friends, I can give you a lot of example which happened even in front of us in Windhoek here. Where, if you remember the Samorama Shell, that big space there, that company was involved there, still getting tenders from the government.
Yeah.
But the overdone with that project and the no tracing for the Minister of Agriculture. Up to now, we don't know how far is even that case or even ICC if they are involved.
Mm.
The same one with the road inside the from Havana.
Yeah.
I mean, Havana to Havana. That company is still getting tenders. It's all about the gambling. You find them.
That's the concern I have in terms of this qualified, because what they look.
I'm talking about the big company now.
Yeah.
You never see small one getting away with it.
Yeah. The whole question of identifying only the most capable, experienced, and well-resourced bidders, that actually cut out, you know, smaller companies, you know, smaller contractors. And then definitely, imagine now, last year, as I said, you know, 6 billion, you know, that was the kind of money that going to that. Now you have only these few companies that would actually have access to that. Yeah?
It's what I'm telling you, with yeah, they are trying. You know why we have problem when you see this guy. I mean, like, let me give you a scenario where government are saying no, we have vulnerable people. We get independence after 35 years. Who's making those people vulnerable? Ask yourself a question. And today, if you are saying no, why this small company, our company never grow in Namibia? It's the same question, isn't it? Because the moment this person is even trying to hustle himself, you are putting a lot of things on him. Social Security, BIPA, you talk about, it's so a lot.
Yeah.
Inland revenue, so many. And they remember, every project is involved in what? Paperwork. And the paperwork, we are talking about somebody taking money out to go to something and do something.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if this company is making individually, like a go to Mike, you fix a, it's what, drainage, you go there, you put a roof up, you do, by doing it by your own, but at the end of the day, you are paying services for government.
Mm.
At the end of the day, you are tendering where you are putting 500 non-refundable. But this person who's getting every day tender is still getting the same tender, I mean, left and right.
Yeah, and imagine 3,000 for small.
You put it your money in.
Yeah.
You never even receive anything.
Yeah.
And the next year again, you are required to
pay again. And you are not guaranteed that you're going to get the tender. You know?
I'm telling you that. No. These things are, we are not supposed to. And these are things sometimes I'm telling you. Our government, you have to be careful about it. Because the moment you are infringing a light to a lot of people, remember, These are individual companies, a few in Namibia.
Yeah.
Let me give you an example of the youth was given the fund. Just imagine those 15 companies. Do you think they are able to qualify for that 3,000 which are requiring people to help?
Yeah, definitely not.
Those ones were not, and they only got, what, 42 out of that. No, the problem here, I think the government is moving at the wrong direction, and I think this is not supposed to be happening. Somebody has to step in.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you.
In itself, as I said, they need to be struck a balance somewhere, because I feel that the whole idea could be, you know, could help with the transparency and efficiency, but the criteria have to take a lot in consideration. For example, geographic realities, you
exactly.
know, take that in account as well, because otherwise the capital-based firm or companies will actually dominate the national tenders, as is the case now. You understand?
That is what is happening already.
Yeah.
And remember, some of us, when we start our companies, that because they say, no, if you are even having a qualification, good to go. What happened? After that, we have our qualification attached to our company, then what else?
Yeah.
Nothing happened. The guys who get things is, the guy who doesn't turning up the plan upside down, like the way other people are reading the newspaper who don't know how to read.
Yeah.
This is what is happening. But that guy is getting from Congo to Kalas.
Yeah.
You see that?
And the other fear is that that excuses were to say, well, these are the ones that meet the criteria, you know, and as I said, like last year, infrastructure budget exceeded 6 billion. So
yes.
that is much. It's a lot of money that could end up, you know, being controlling. You know, the same companies could end up actually controlling most of that market, you know?
I'm telling you. Because the problem is our country where I'm seeing our government are moving at the wrong direction. That's why people are no more, youth unemployment is cutting high. Because remember, the construction industry is where we are meeting all of us. The people are not having informal education. The people who are from institution, the people who doesn't have any qualification, I mean, doesn't have any education at all.
Yeah.
It's in construction. At the end of the day, people are getting capital projects are Chinese. And the Chinese are constructing only those ones they know.
Yeah. Because, but I mean, they are the only
35,
one.
Only those ones who are going to get those tenders. At the end of the day, Micah, you jump in. Do you remember the scenario that I gave you for Tuarongo,
yeah.
where we construct a block for 15,000?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is the scenario where we are happening. That is what is happening to us. The people who are trying to make all means, by end of the day, at least I want us on my company not to remain the same way.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you must have money somewhere. If maybe you are given let me say, in Namibia, it's very easy for you to make it. Let me see if you are given a tender somewhere before, maybe even like a 1.5.
Yeah.
My friend, you are able to make it. But you just imagine if you are subcontract, then you are getting a block for 15,000. And that 15,000 you have to divide. There's a guy who come to put a electrical. There's a guy who come to put a ceiling. Just imagine.
All right. Well, let's hear also what others have to say.
Yeah, but seriously, I think that is not a way to go.
Yeah.
For me, I'm not supporting that.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming through.
All right.
0833-66091. 0833-66091. Well, transparency is supposed to prevent corruption. So, but as I said earlier on, strict bidding, by its nature, limit who can participate.
A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
Good.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes. I have heard many stories.
You have heard many stories.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of those companies, small or big, who were actually able to secure some tenders.
You are in the room there with a little bit of an echo.
No. I'm just in the sitting room.
Oh, okay. Yeah, now it's better.
I'm saying that if there is a school there in Tongwe Diva.
Yeah.
I think it's just closer to the house of the former minister of urban and rural development.
Utoni, yeah.
Yeah, Utoni.
Mm.
So there is a school there that needed to be renovated. And put some structures there. And so those years, they came the same time when, you know, the Omungurume road and all, many, many, many other infrastructures.
Yeah.
That you were given to come, and they could not finish.
Yeah.
And there are so many. So when this the former known to, this black economic empowerment, when it came, there were people who were small companies, and then they got money, like the one that I'm referring to, Godiva, 39 million.
Yeah.
And that person couldn't even construct or build a school, not even a single one.
Yeah.
The students, the learners were accommodated in the church, you know, facilities and all these other things. So what we are saying is that it's very important to empower our small business or contractors financially and otherwise. But then if, for example, I need to service to be provided.
Yeah.
Those service providers, they come in. We advertise, for example, we advertise and they come in. But many a times, just this symbol, just a good standing, this other one, those things are already not there. Many a times.
Mm.
And there are companies that have provided their portfolio. They say, we have constructed this in Skuku, this is what we did. And then when the BD comes, and then you discover that these people, they are not even existing. They have not even done those things.
Yeah.
So maybe what we can do, and that has been a calling, that we team up yourself to have more, to be more stronger.
Yeah.
To be able to compete at least. So, because we know, if you are not in existing now.
Yeah, but what you're saying also is that, I think what I'm saying is that a small company, I mean, small contractors or small companies must also have their house in order. You know, they must have their paper ready. They must, when they are given a job, must be able to do it, you know. Yeah, so otherwise we cannot just offer them just for the sake of building small, you know. So I think that's the point you're making, yeah.
Yes, so even because this is what I've experienced. I've been dealing with those things, Mbara. And it's really trouble. So the person doesn't have, is not even in the system.
Yeah.
And now when you tell the person, please, can you go and get the good standing just from the social security there?
Yeah.
You get that one and you think, and then you, so this money is for the company, for the business, cannot be paid to your personal account. Where's the business account? All those confusions within our small business entrepreneur. Those who are well organized, they have got these things. And you know these things, if you are dealing with the money for the public.
Yeah.
So you must account for. And what is needed is that to make sure also that, so maybe the cash flow may be a problem to many of us. But you can still work it out. We were told by Kanzengo, Okwanyoka here, guys, your business proposal is viable and things, unlisted, this offers with the, so sometimes it's really ourselves. And we don't even want to team up. So when you go to Ongwediva there, people who are trying now to make up the, what is it? The, only the black, actually. The black workers, our workers whom we are employing in our companies. Last time I told you, I could see people having only one wheelbarrow. And those big bricks, man.
Yeah.
Those big ones. So one is holding it here, one is holding it here. And they are moving. And they don't have those boots. Boots. Yeah. And you have got that tender. You know, Shagati.
Yeah.
Working, and people are working. So, and they are using those, all those kinds of equipment. But you have got the money. So the workers now are now at risk. So many a times, those small things we are not putting into place. If we can organize ourselves, we team up together,
yeah.
And you are saying you are plumbers, and then you have a big tender. But the only problem, sometimes you want us to go, if you are, see me, welding and fabrication, motor mechanic. But I don't have time to do the thing, but I can organize the guys. I always told my boys, see, most of them, they are technical people. And they are doing the work.
All right.
Good.
All right, Matt, thank you for coming through.
Welcome, sir.
All right.
All right. We're talking about the pre-qualifications, for those, that it's a law that will come into effect, the Central, Procurement Board of Namibia say this new system would help, streamline public procurement. You know, that's the process, government uses to buy goods and services. They want to identify only the most capable, the most experienced, and the most well-resourced bidders. So, do you agree with that? Or that can, So, as I said, on a paper, it's about efficiency and transparency. That's also something that is, already demanded in the Namibia Public Procurement Act. So that fairness and accountability. So, and they say that, well, this is to strengthen that. Okay. So now, but we also have to look on the other way. We also have to look that, there is a possibility, that, so we'll get back. We'll come back. Just hold on quickly.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, welcome back. So, excuse me. So the Central Procurement, Board of Namibia. So this new pre-qualification system is it's a really bold, I think, a bold step, one that could, bring much needed discipline to Namibia construction sector as well. So, but, and as I said earlier on, any reform, the devil is in the details. So we say it promises transparency, but it could also, narrow that participation of small contractors as well. And when are we going to develop them? When are they going to develop into, a firm that can compete? So, yeah, those are some of the things. So what I'm saying is that, the challenge for Namibia is really to make sure that procurement reform don't leave our small contractors, as I said earlier, standing outside of the door or outside of the gate. So, yeah. So what do you think? 083-3366 is the number you can dial. You can dial to come through. So 083-3366 091. So what do you think? So that's what we're discussing at the moment. You can come through. All right. Otherwise, is what is the time? 9:06 is the time. And if you're just joining us, this is Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station. So if after this, we will get into the second story, but you are most welcome to come through at any time on any topic that we discuss, especially the topic that we discussed earlier. So stay tuned.
Omutiha with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. She goes a fatanana, longish fa, ya, she becomes you wanna. E. Moyao, or Tango got it some money. Anna Gishifa, Yanamibia, on the Tombanawa, Orangeka. Faithanina, Omeguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupiramo, Igelefem Media House. We 20 Pimeha, Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara omkwashi paregi uimepo yo mo programa letu. Moambo, dengira selma, kodaraje tatuimu. Datundatu, heari jamanotano, o aliaj. Eagle FM, so high.
No matter where.
Good morning Namibia. Wherever you find yourself, where are you listening us from? Okay. Vendek, Katima, my Katima people. How are you? Where are you? Mr. What is his name? Oh, my good Lord. Missed him. Okay. So welcome back to Unpacking the Day, where we take the headlines apart and look at what really going on beneath the headlines. So that's what we do here on Unpacking the Day. Now, if you have glanced at the news lately, you might have seen that our health ministers, Dr. Esperanza Luvindao, reached out to foreign mission, now including Japan, asking for urgent help with malaria drug supplies. So why? Because the article says the national medical stores only have about a month worth of medication left. So that is the story. And let's start with the facts we know. Okay. So Namibia declared a malaria outbreak back in December 2024. Since then, more than 93,000 people have been diagnosed. Since then, 93,000 people have been diagnosed. 8,600, hospitalized, and at least 154 live lost this year alone. 154 lives lost this year alone to malaria. So now, the hardest hit regions are Kavango East, the Kavango West, Zambezi, Ohangwena, and Oshikoto. So those are the hardest hit regions. So, and these are once again bearing the brunt. Those are the ones that really, many of these are rural, low income communities, where access to clinic is already limited. You understand? So you have to understand that the background to that as well. So the context to that. So when we hear that the country has just 1 month supply of malaria medicine left, it is not just a bureaucratic hiccup. So when you think about that, it is a potential public health emergency. You understand? So this is a story that, in the Windhoek Observer. So you can go in details in that story. So it is potentially a public health emergency. You know, it's not just about, well, it's a bureaucratic hiccup. Now, malaria is not a new, it's not new actually to Namibia. I mean, we have battled it for many years. You know, and while transmission is seasonal and varies by region, what worrying is the cases are rising. I think that's a worrying. They are not falling. They are rising. That's the issue. That's a worrying thing. So in fact, malaria death have more than tripled, since last year. So tripled. That's what is concerning. That's the worrying things. So statistically, malaria death have more than tripled since last year. So now, so what did the government do? Well, Health Minister Dr. Esperanza Luvindau wrote to diplomatic missions. At least one confirmed letter went to Japan ambassador asking for urgent help to restock malaria medicine. Now, well, I mean, when you look at that, you can think, well, that's being proactive. It's a proactive step. I mean, it's the minister is trying to be proactive. After all, saving life comes before politics. So, but here is where one become a little curious, where you should be curious as well. Why did Namibia have to turn to foreign embassies in the first place? Why do we have to turn to foreign embassy in the first place? Huh? Now think, I mean, we're not talking about, this is not a drought relief effort or a disaster fund appeal. You understand? We're talking about, you know, it's about basic medicine procurement. Shouldn't that something the ministry planned in months, even in years ahead? You know, these are things that should have been done, you know, in years and months ahead. We're talking about medicine procurement here. We're not talking about flood, you know, relief program here, you know? So this is not those, you know, this is about medicine procurement. And this is something that you should plan ahead. And I don't understand why would you run to the embassies? All right. Now, if our central medical store truly had sufficient stock, as the ministry spokesperson actually insists that the central medical store has actually sufficient stock, then why send out a plea letter? So why would the minister then send out the plea letter? Something, it doesn't add up. You know, something really here doesn't add up. So either there is a communication breakdown inside the Ministry of Health, or there is more to this story than meets the eye. So definitely one of the two. So now, on one hand, you have got Dr. Luvindau sounding the alarm, saying Namibia is at risk of running out of malaria medicine. And on the other hand, the Ministry Public Relations Officer confidently tell the media there is no shortage, you know, claiming 95% stock level at the central medical store. Now, two completely different messages from the same ministry. So, let's pause and ask, who is right? Who is right? It is possible both are. It is possible that both are, but in part. Okay? It is possible that both are right, but in part. Now, the ministry might have overall supplies of various medical commodities, but specific malaria drugs, like the, what are those drugs? I used to know this. The atemotelometer. All right. Those drugs that the injectable artesunate. There's the injectable artesunate. You know, those actually that they use could be running low. You know, those drugs, malaria drug, could be actually running low. So it means overall supplies of various medication commodities. There are, that's our 95% stock level, but specific malaria drugs, so could be running low. So when officially when official talks about 95% stock, so they might be counting everything from bandages to vitamins, you know, and not necessarily the critical malaria medicines. So, and that's a classic problem in health reporting. So numbers can hide as much as they can reveal. So without clear breakdown, 95% doesn't tell us whether the right medicines are available in the right regions, the regions that we actually talked about, Hangwenda, Kavango West and East, Oshikoto, you know, and Zambezi. So are those available in the right regions? So that's another issue. Now, then there's a question of quality. Okay? Then there's a question of quality. Source Insight. Now, this Source Insight, the ministry say, some of the medicine being sought might not even meet Namibian regulatory standards. Well, that's a source in the ministry itself. That now, what we're looking for, the kind of medicines being sought might not even meet Namibia regulatory standard. Now, they are asking, did the minister check with the Namibian Medicine Regulatory Council before appealing abroad? So one tend to think that could be the case. One want to believe that should be the case. So, are the requested drug WHO pre-qualified? Because if not, so we could be importing medicine that don't work, or worse, that harm patients, you know? So those are some of the questions, some of the linger within the ministry itself. So, and it's a fair concern. I mean, definitely it's a fair concern in the rush to fill the shelves. Quality assurance can sometimes take the backseat. So you're rushing actually to fill the shelf, but so what about the quality assurance? Sometimes that take a backseat. So one thing that we need to, you know, consider, and it's a fair, as I said, it's a fair concern. For some others, is some section in the ministry would think, hey, have we done due diligence? You know, have the minister check with the Namibia Medicine, you know, regulatory councils before actually appealing on appealing abroad? Have we requested? Have the, are we, what is the drug that we are requesting a WHO pre-qualified? So, as I said, it's actually a fair concern. I would exactly think in the same way. You probably would think in the same way. So, and there is another twist here. All right? There's another twist here. Money. Okay? There's always money. Money is always the twist. Well, money makes everything moves. So, just last month, you know, the ministry proudly announced it had cut out middlemen. You remember that? In medical procurement, okay? They have cut out middlemen in medical procurement. By buying directly, so they said by buying directly from the manufacturer, they claim to have saved over 221, you know, million already. You know, 221 million already. All right? That's a huge amount. And the president herself supported the move, saying the saving will be reinvested in health services. So, but some insiders quietly warn that such a sudden shift, you know, such a sudden shift can disrupt established supply chains. You know, there are those who think, okay, that quick change, do you agree with that? That sudden shift can disrupt established supply chains. Think about it. Now, if you have spent years working through certain suppliers and suddenly switch to direct purchasing, there's bound to be delays. There's bound to be delays. There's bound to be paperwork issues, or even sometime maybe miss some shipment, you know, because it's a new norm that you kind of try. Could that also explain why we are facing this medicine crunch? It could be that that's the reason why we're facing this medicine crunch, if you like. Is it not possible? The system might still be adjusting to its new norm, to its new normal, you know? So that could be also the something that one had to think about. So things that just won't just go smoothly as they used to. So, well, it's going to take time. There will be some delays. There will be some, you know, system issues and all those kind of things. So, yeah, maybe that's one of the issues as well. So, now, even beyond the supply debate, okay, we can ignore the environmental and biological factors, you know. So malaria transmission in Namibia is described as a moderate, seasonal, and unstable, meaning it changes with rainfall patterns and mosquito behavior. All right. So now the experts say climate change is playing a bigger role here. Wetter seasons means more breeding ground for mosquitoes. Okay, those who are not aware. So wetter season means more breeding grounds for mosquitoes. And scientists have also warned that about the insecticide resistance. So a mosquito that no longer die from common sprays because they become resistant, and drug resistance as well. So when you have insecticide resistance and drug resistance is parasite that survive treatment. So that in itself can become a perfect, you know, really a perfect storm, you know, when it comes to malaria. You have got a perfect storm there. So in short, even the best stocked pharmacy wouldn't stop malaria if prevention measures fail. You know, and I'm talking from experience because I was heading some programs in malaria and in some of this region as well. So while the ministry talks about larvicidating and distributing mosquito nets, so the real question is, are this effort reaching the people who need them most? Are we tracking effectiveness or just distributing material and, well, ticking boxes like, okay, that's done. Are we just distributing materials? Are we tracking effectiveness? That's very important because from there we can be able to, you know, to change the cause of prevention measures, you know. So, and at the heart of all this is accountability. At the heart of all this is accountability. Namibia deserves to know whether their health system is prepared. We need to know. whether are we prepared? So, yeah, so, yeah, the day before yesterday, I was calling Ithindi. Well, I wanted to know, are we prepared with Mpox? So sent even a text. So I haven't got a reply. So in terms of Mpox, so that's also, as I said, Namibians deserve to know whether their health system is prepared, not just for malaria, but for any major outbreak. You know, are we prepared? And we have one cases of Mpox now in the at the coast. Are we prepared? So, and when you have top official giving conflicting informations, that also, that also erode trust, that also create mistrust. When letter to the foreign embassies leak before the public get an official update, question arises. Question arises. So, and because one have to think, one have to really serious think that this is not just a logistic issues. So when you think of this, and this is not just a logistic issues, it's about transparency and planning. So are we learning from our past mistakes, our past outbreaks? We have past outbreak before, or simply reacting to the next one. Are we learning? We have been battling this for years.
Well, we could be perfectly.
All right. But the question is, when we see this kind of knee-jerk kind of response of the ministry, that's where we're getting worried. That's why it becomes a concern that we're talking about it. So, and as I said, this is not just a logistic issue. It's about transparency and planning. Okay? So are we simply reacting to the next one, or we are learning from the past outbreaks that, you know, that we have? All right. Let's get to someone before we get to the end of this.
Very good morning.
Bom dia, família.
Bom dia, como está?
Bom, obrigado. Estamos bem, obrigado.
You are sound very far.
Okay. Now?
Yeah, but just go on.
I can hear you well.
Yeah, no, I can hear you as well. But yeah, you're a little bit far, a little bit, but it's okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to help each other at the malaria case, which are the numbers went too high.
The what is too high?
The numbers of death and stuff like that. Was saying that.
Yeah, of malaria.
Yes.
Yeah, it's actually too high.
Yeah, but I think the really problem here has been hidden. Because why is it only in the north, not in the coast, in the south as well? Because the problem here is the Angolan population. Not normal Namibians, but because when they come to Namibia, they're already tired, and they've been jeopardized by that system of the sickness, and they don't have a proper hospital in the borders.
Yeah.
And they prepare to come and get help in this site in Namibia. So I think the issue here is not really the, I think our system is still not that fine, but still okay.
Yeah, but normally this record have actually the residence where the person is actually from. Is to say, where are you residing? I'm in Dibo, or I'm in Congo. Yep. So basically, the number reflects actually Namibia. I understand what you're saying, and it does make sense, but, normally, you know, this is about Namibians. Yeah. Otherwise you have no reliable data, you know, even if you're budgeting or whatever the case may be. So you have to have some kind of reliable data, and you have to extract informations exactly from the Namibia.
Yeah.
But the point you're not making is also, it also makes sense, yeah.
You know, is this guy like, for example, like if I'm a Chokwe, come to Okavango. Obviously, when you ask me, I'll tell you I'm from Namibia. You know, I'll tell you from the village nearby. if I come from Angola here,
yeah,
I speak in French to Guanyama. You ask me, I won't say I'm from Angola because I want to get help.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
But the problem here is not like Namibians are not doing well. It's the problem here is the Angolan people who are coming to Namibia to get a better medication. Even now, if you go to the hospital in the border there, you find like maybe 20 Namibians, the rest is from Angola.
I think
the numbers, the number's right, but the system needs to look deeper than that, because otherwise you just say Namibians are dying of malaria. But that's not the reality.
Yeah.
But I'll take a yes to give you other because that side of the country, you go to any clinic in that side, there's no medication. What they do, they obviously force themselves to cross the border by force and to come here to get a better treatment, because Namibia is doing well. If you compare these African countries, Namibia is really doing far better than other in terms of medications. But you don't include South Africa. South Africa is something else. But in other countries, Namibia is far, far better.
Yeah.
All right, then. I just come for that, man. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for coming through. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. All right, 0833-66091. You either can talk about the pre-qualifications that we talked earlier from the Central Procurement Board of Namibia, or you get involved in the story that we still actually are unpacking. So what is next? What happened next? Okay, so well, the rain season is only a week away. So, yeah, the rain season is just a week's away. And the other thing is that before that, actually, the thing is we have seen this. When we get into the same pattern over and over, and as I said, there are certain things that I'm actually talking from experience here. Shortages, appeal for help, and temporary relief, then back to business as usual. We're talking about things are not going to be business as usual, but you know, that kind of circle, you know, that kind of circles where, you know, shortages, appeal for help, temporary relief, just when you're looking at even when it comes to drought relief, all this kind of thing, and then back to the business as usual. So until the next crisis again, eh? So we don't seem to be, and this is the whole thing is about how prepared are we? Whatever the case, now we're looking at this medicine whole shortage of medicine case, but there are other issues as well. All right. Now, and as I was saying, what would happen next? What happened next? So it's time for rain season. It's just a few weeks. In some areas it's already start raining. And then the forecast predict moderate to heavy rains, you know, and with them, a new wave of malaria cases. You know, with that, the new malaria cases. If Namibia doesn't sort out its medicine supply, you know, and prevention strategy soon, if we don't sort that out as soon as possible, we could face an even deadlier outbreak next year. So, and as we see from the very beginning, there's a rise in a number of cases of people who actually diagnose and die from malaria. But, well, it's not all doom and gloom, okay? It's not all doom and gloom.
Very good morning to you.
Hello.
Good morning.
Yes, morning.
How are you?
We are right. How is it?
I'm fine.
It's Eagle FM.
Who's that?
It's Eagle FM.
Yes, you are right on, you know, you are on Eagle FM on Unpacking the Days.
I'm packing any topic that I want to say.
Yeah?
anything that I want to contribute?
No, not anything you want to contribute. There are topics that we're talking about. Okay?
Oh, I was not listening because I don't have data, so I'll back in the air.
Okay, let me give you what we're talking at this point in time. Maybe you can contribute to that now.
All right.
So the Minister of Health have actually written a letter to the embassies appealing for help when it comes because of the shortage of malaria medicines, you know? So, and as we see, there has been an increase of number of deaths from malarias. Now, what we are unpacking now, what we're looking at is that, you know, shouldn't we already prepare this? Shouldn't be something that this is a procurement, you know? Shouldn't this government have prepared this and already planned procurement, medicine procurement in time, in months and years, you know?
I understand the scenario,
Yeah.
What matter here, that is a complex matter. And then, you know, most these people, they have changed that. They don't want middlemen now.
So,
that one, it will bring a problem because those middlemen, they are doing the job for the government. But now, things are becoming to become slow now because since the government is too slow to buy medicine, so... It will just continue. It's not only malaria medicine that people are experiencing the shortage.
Yeah.
Most of the pharmacies, most of the government pharmacies, if you go there, they will tell you that no, we don't have this and this. But they were saying, we were happy to hear that they want to buy directly. They don't want this middleman to be involved in this procurement of medication.
Mm.
So we were happy that the government will do the job as soon as quickly. But now, as we are talking now, you go to clinic, they will tell you, if you don't have medical aid or maybe you are not afford to, you cannot afford to buy medicine, they will say, my friend, here we don't have this kind of medicine. So imagine if you are bitten by a dog and then maybe... It's like if I'm under correction, that medication or that injection, if you go to private doctor or let me say this pharmacist, it's very expensive. Imagine if you are not working, and then how are we going to be cured for that matter?
Yeah. The other thing is that maybe that we don't look at it seriously is that. If I go to the hospital and I cannot be able to get, I'm told come tomorrow or even not tomorrow because there might be nothing still tomorrow. If I'm told to come later, imagine now, if I'm told to come later because of a weakness in our medical logistics, we should be suing the government.
Yeah, maybe because of us who don't understand the laws. We are just, the other end, we are just suffering. Because if you go to the hospital and then someone passed away because he was not attended on time and then maybe there was some kind of shortage of medicine the person is supposed to be prescribed and there is nothing. Yeah. For people who don't know, especially people who are from the rural area who don't know about laws, there is nothing to do. They don't understand that you can sue the government, but... In reality, the government is supposed to be pay. If something happened to the patient, that the patient is supposed to receive this kind of attention, but due to shortage of medicine in the government pharmacy or government hospital, then it will be a problem.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I don't want to make accusation to accuse someone. You know this kind of people that you are dealing with in our Namibian government.
Yeah.
I don't want to point finger to anyone. People, sometimes it's a tricky way. You know, like, if I want a medicine today, and then maybe in a clinic there is nothing. So it forced me to go and support those. And those farmers, they belong to who? Tell me, say, those farmers, they belong to who?
Yeah.
They are making profit in the other way. Because if you bring medicine on time, so people, they will not support their farmers. So we are running to the government facility to get medication instead of going to support their pharmacies.
Mm.
Yeah, it's always in a tricky way sometimes. Things are being done like in that way.
Yeah, so, and we have nowhere to run, eh?
Yeah, we have no other way, my friend. We have to just, if I drop, it's costing 500. We just have to go there because if somebody's pharmacist, is maybe it's the only pharmacy in the town. So in that way, the person will benefit, the business will grow.
Yeah.
Because how many people are going to come and buy injection for dog bite? How many are they? Maybe more than 10 or 5 a day.
Yeah, but the other question then is that, where do the private pharmacy actually get their medications? I mean, their medicines. Do they get it also from central store? Do they also get it from a central store, or do they procure the? They have their own procurement outside.
They have their own, but they are very fast. Their procurement is very fast. Because the moment you fail, you know, here, people, like what I used to hear, people, sometimes if you are doing things, let me say maybe you are a contractor, and then, for example, I give you this scenario, and then maybe a contractor come and build a room for a security guard. The person who is coming to sleep there is who? Who is coming to sleep there? If the contractor or maybe the person who give a tender to that person don't construct that room or that safe room for the officer to sleep well without being disturbed by wind or rain. You see, people sometimes in that matter, they don't care because they are not going there. How many, tell me, in which day maybe you are a journalist.
Yeah.
Just make a research or maybe you ask your colleague, okay, I have this question. In your life, where did you find, or when did you visit that clinic of that village, and then you find even a minister there?
Yeah.
When did you meet that minister there? How many ministers used to come and visit those government hospitals? They are not going there. They are going to private doctors.
Yeah.
Why? Why they are not utilizing the service for the government that they are providing? In the same way that these people, they don't feel the pinch. For us who are feeling the pinch, who are unable to afford the medication,
so they are not close to the fire, yeah?
Yeah, they are not close to the fire. Us, we are just suffering, my dear. See, that is a complex matter. If you make a research deep down in that way, you will have a reason, have a lot of reason, whether they are true or they are false.
Yeah.
Sometimes people are doing things for intentionally that they don't want us to, so they just have to force us to go and buy to their medicine, to their pharmacies.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Now, where are you calling us from?
I'm calling you from Rwakana.
Oh, from Rwakana?
Yes.
It's good to hear from someone from Rwakana.
Yeah, from Rwakana. But now we are disappointed. I don't know what happened. I always ask Mr. John Walenga to come and explain to us what happened. We don't used to listen to the radio anymore, only if you have data. For those of us who are having Katosha now, I don't know now.
Yeah, no, we understand. But my friend, the world is moving in that direction, you know?
Yes,
Believe me. Yeah.
Yeah. I understand, my dear.
All right, man. Thanks for coming through,
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, so, I mean, those who... I understand. I mean, we definitely understand. But we're moving. The world, sooner or later, the world is actually moving, and we are moving ahead. We're moving ahead with time, you know? This is basically where the world is moving. 08333-66091. 08333-66091. So you may come through. All right.
Good morning. Well,
That hurts my ear. Don't do that again. Yeah, so, all right. So I was saying, you know, when it comes now to, you are most welcome to come through. We still have some, our time is about 46 minutes past the hour of 9. We still have about 16, or, I mean, about 14, you know, some of us are very, our math, I haven't failed math, but, you know, it's not the subject that I was so strong. All right, a very good morning to you.
Good morning, JFM.
Good morning, how are you?
Good, how are you, sir?
I'm all right, man.
Yeah, I just came on the radio, then I find you talking about the Minister of Health and Medicine in the hospital.
Yes, especially the shortage of malaria medicines that the ministry is asking embassies to actually help. You know, what is going on?
Yeah. And for me, I think it's not only for malaria.
Yeah.
It is a lot because I have one of my sisters who is having a problem of epilepsy.
Mm.
In the whole last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We were looking for those medicines, but we cannot find it in the north.
Not even in the pharmacies, the private pharmacies?
The private pharmacy that is nearby our villages, they were not there. And sometimes they are very expensive.
Yeah.
Very much expensive. You cannot even afford it.
Yeah. Now, there is a bigger issue here that maybe need a different discussion. If... Uh-huh. Let's say, for example, and this is the question I'm asking any public out there. If now you went to the hospital, you are given someone to say, we don't have this medications. You simply say, go home and die.
No.
Is that not what the ministry just telling you? Well, that we can't help you. Just go home and, you know, it's simply that. Because if you can't afford it, buying it yourself, you are actually just told go home and die.
And yes, yeah. And it's not always like that because sometimes you can afford it,
yeah,
but there's no way you can find it. Let me say about us. We are deep in the village.
Mm.
When we are going to hospital, it's very far. Like one of my brother's son, last week he bitten by the dog.
Yeah.
They went to the hospital, but they cannot find that injection. And that thing, it must be emergency. And we cannot find it. Like that, I'm saying, the nearest pharmacy that we have is not big, it's also small farmers sometimes.
So the point is that there should have been actually a well-equipped, whatever, pharmacy and a clinic, whatever, or medical centers or whatever the case may be. There should, you know. And as I said, when that fail, you know, the accountability is on the government. It's on the Ministry of Health. You know?
Yes.
So,
but the thing that sometimes we don't understand, you go to an injury, no medicine. Like after a week, 1 week now, one of my newborn baby born in an injury.
Yeah,
one of the. The vaccine that the baby need to get from the hospital before they leave the hospital was not there. Engela is not there. Enana is not there. The our surrounding clinic in the village, it is not there. Only yesterday that they got it from the clinic. What is that now?
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. What happened during that time when that's not available? You know, and my baby, if something happened to my baby, you know, what then? I think that we should actually get into that. So if the government failed to provide services that required to provide, what should we do?
I really don't know now.
And this has nothing just to do with our election, vote out the people who are not performing. No. I'm saying that now, this is now as an institution, a system, as a ministry, for example, that is not providing the service that it should be providing. So what should we do? What should we do as citizens? You know?
I don't think we can do anything for that. Just maybe the government to equip the Minister of Health because it's very important for us.
Yeah.
That is only what we need from the government. Maybe if there's no enough money, maybe the budget of the year, maybe they need to give more to the Minister of Health.
Yeah. One thing is actually for us to know what is our rights. It's also to understand, you know, how this system works. And that's what we do here sometimes. We bring you out, we tease out things for you to understand exactly how the things work. And then for you to be able to know what you need to do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, you are right, sir.
All right, man. Thanks for coming.
Okay, thank you. You're welcome, sir.
All right. Where are you calling us from?
From Windhoek.
From Windhoek. All right.
Yes.
That's from the capital. And, yeah. What is your take? 0833-66091. We're coming to you live, from the Ondangwa, studio. So, and it's big one behind the mic, big mic behind the mic. All right. So I was saying, so we still have about 8 minutes. We can still have about 2 or 3 people coming through. All right. If you want to. So yeah. The rainy season, I was saying the rain season is only a week away, and the forecasts predict, you know, moderate to heavy, you know, rain this season. And with that, that will be a new wave of malaria cases. So, and if we are not ready, now, given that we're talking about medicine shortage of supply, and if we don't get our, you know, medicine supplies and prevention strategy, you know, in order soon, we could have actually faced even, you know, a really, really a deadlier, you know, outbreak next year. So, and I was saying, well, it's not all doom and gloom, okay? It's not all doom and gloom. The fact that, you know, the other things that we have to acknowledge is that the fact that the minister acted early, you know, even if the message was mixed, so it shows awareness, you know? It shows awareness. The challenge is more coordination. So you can see that, well, we are aware with the situation and we're acting as early as possible. So, yeah, but a transparent update from the ministry, proper verification of medicine quantity, you know, or quality, and clear data on regional supplies, I think could also restore some public confidence. So because when in a absence of information, people create, you know, so that's human being. So, well, so from these stories that we were just unpacking now, few things that maybe we can take away is that, yes, Namibia is facing malaria crisis, with tens of thousands of confirmed cases and over 100 deaths this year already. So, drug supplies, are under pressure. So according to the article, so whether it is a nationwide shortage or distribution gap, or it's a signal. When you look at that, it's a signal of weaknesses in our medical logistic. So, and that's something that need to be sorted out as urgently as possible, because we're talking about human lives here. So yeah, the government decision is to buy directly, as we know, directly from the manufacturers, and that could improve efficiency, hopefully, and save money. But we also see that maybe the transition must be managed carefully to avoid critical shortage, as could be the consequences of that. So, and international aid seems to be the lifeline. So, but it must be balanced with safety check, you know. Because there are those concerns about, you know, what we asking, is it, you know, internationally, have we checked that with our regulatory body, and is it pre-qualified by the WHO? So, and then definitely, as I said, the balance with safety checks and long-term planning for self-sufficiency. I think those are important aspects. Well, we also see these mixed up messages. The public relations officer saying something else, the minister saying something else. So communication matters, you know, communication matters. Mixed messages from officials only deepen that uncertainty and mistrust. So it's very important that we that sorted out. And finally, the climate, you know, the climate change and resistance, as we talked about, resistance means malaria control must evolve. So we must evolve, not just react, you know. So, yeah, and at the end of the day, this is not just about, you know, medicine on shelves, right? As I said earlier on, it's not just about medicine on shelf. It's about people in villages waiting for treatment, you know. People in villages. I mean, we just heard, you know, callers saying, look, we have went to the clinic and, you know, for 2 weeks we have been waiting for these medicines. What happened to the person in 2 weeks? Yeah? So, as I said, it's just not about medicines on self. It's about people, you know, especially in villages, as we have said, waiting for treatment, about family who have lost loved ones. Yeah? And I'm seriously in terms of negligence, because if there is a system, logistical, you know, medical register that hasn't been working, you know, and that causes those lives could have been saved. I always said the head must spin. Somewhere the head must spin, honestly. So, and it's about how a nation prepares for the next health challenge. Are we prepared? There is whole question of cases now in pox. Yeah? The inpox cases, all of a sudden you hear that next one, and then boom. So, what do you think? So, well, we're almost at the end of our program. And so what do you think? That's something now you yourself, should be able to discuss wherever you are, you know. As we say, rightly so, this is a platform where we really analyze, go deeper in some of the issues behind the headlines and look at some issues that are hidden, or different angle, different perspective that may not be come to light easily, you know, in the articles or stories or events that you hear. So, yeah. So my question here is also that you can think of, should Namibia really rely on international donors for our medicine, our emergency medicine? Eh? Or should we focus more? And this is all about, you know, should we focus more on building regional production capacity? Something to think about. All right? Should we rely, and we can become dependent. Eh? This is we have this tendency within us of becoming more and more dependent. Emergency comes, who do we run to? So we're running to the international donors. All right? So we become so dependent. Why don't we build? Why don't we focus on building a regional production capacity within SADC itself? Yeah? Though they aspired politicians, those who aspire to be, think about these things. When you get into parliament, when you can become a president one day, or what a minister, please, eh? We need to get this rid of this, you know, tendency, you know, relying on international donors all the time. So, well, that's, as I said, it brings us to the end of our episode today. So let's do this tomorrow again. So are our health official being transparent enough about the facts? That's also something that we need to question. So, but, well, that's what we have for you today. Let's do this again tomorrow at the same time here on Eagle FM. And I will leave you with that, Franz. We're crossing over now to Windhoek for Kuthamosha. Make sure that you stay tuned and for the rest of the programs that are coming your way today. So for me, Mike Oshaveli, until tomorrow, goodbye for now.